this time, I'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Here.
Deborah Pratt.
Here.
Kevin Greenfield.
Here.
Jim Gresham.
Here.
Grant Mattingly.
Here.
Mara Zimmerman.
Here.
Helena Buckner. Helena Buckner. You have 6 and 7 quorum present.
Thank you. Entertain a motion on the prior meeting minutes.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Roll call.
Roll call, sorry.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Any discussion on the claims? Entertain a motion on the claims.
Move that they be accepted as submitted.
Second.
Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Audit Subcommittee, any report? Carol?
No. No report for Audit Subcommittee for the audit report. Everybody received, I believe, I sent it to all the board members July 28th about where we are on the resolution that we were going to watch the general fund and see what we need to make up. The just as a review, the sales tax numbers for March were down 15,000, April 44,000, and May 51,000. We'll be getting June's here in the next week, within the next week, I would think, by next Monday. And so we'll kind of know more about what additional cuts we need to make. The circuit clerk fees have started coming over now that they're, I think, back on their other system. So we're starting to get a few of those from since March. We haven't gotten any. So we've gotten April's. So May and June, we'll get those put in, and then we'll see where we are on those. I suspect those will be down some. But I'm hoping not too much. So I'm hoping the sales tax receipts we get now will be for June. So I'm hoping they come back up a little bit since most things were open then. But we'll see. That's all I had.
Thank you. Do we want to cover any of the audit findings now, or Carol, while you're up there or not?
I have none.
Okay.
We'll leave that to.
Okay. Board of review.
This is Kim Fowler with the Supervisor of Assessments Office. I have no report for the Board of Review for this month. For the Supervisor of Assessments Office, some of the township assessors, they turned in their books late this year, which is where you start to see the beginning of the tax cycle shift. So as of now, they're all in. We did have Austin and Lyoni, those townships, it was their quad, and that township assessor did not turn in any quad photos, which means our staff will have to take on that task as well.
You said Austin and Lyoni?
Mm-hmm.
Was it just a surprise to you, or what? Do they say?
No. I wasn't surprised. We haven't received township photos for them for quite some time. Gotcha.
Will we bill them, Kim, for that?
Yes, they will be billed, and I do plan on working with that supervisor of that township to get under the new contract to try to offset some of that expense. So that's all for the Supervisor of Assessments. For GIS, all of the splits and combinations, they're completed, and the new subdivisions for 2020. Those won't hit the website until all of the annotation and the fine-tuning is done. So that's usually around the time we publish in the fall. And that's all I have for GIS.
Was everything completed on our website? I mean, all the changes you were working on?
Yes.
COVID, okay.
Yeah, and there's some, if there's specific maps or anything that, someone's looking, to edit or something new or they want changed, they can always reach out to myself or the to Jacob, and we can always work through that.
Okay. Yep. Kim, I guess I asked if we bill them. My other question is, do they pay it?
Yes.
Without any problems or anything?
Well, sometimes there's a little pushback, but I'm kind of persistent. So every invoice that was billed last year, I did receive payment.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Treasurer, Mr. Yoder.
I have one resolution tonight, Macon County Board resolution to execute deeds to convey properties in which taxes were delinquent.
So move.
Second.
Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Craft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Rick Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye. And just to let you know, Elena just texted me. She should be calling in. She was having some problems with it, so she should be on in a second.
Elena, are you there yet? Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed. Okay. Citizens' remarks. Thank you. Old business. New business. Who's going to do the resolution? Anybody on the salary side?
I'll do it.
I can. It's no problem. You got it right in your hands, fingertips?
Not yet. I do now.
Thank you.
Macon Board, County Board resolution to set the salaries for Office of the State's Attorney and Public Defender effective July 1, 2020. I so move.
Second.
Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Craft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
I got one question. Greg, maybe you can answer. Or is the salary setting this high even with a new state's attorney coming into office that's got no experience whatsoever?
Yeah. Yes. That's correct. It's not tied to
qualifications or anything.
No, it's not. It's not tied to anything. It is set by statute, and if someone leaves, the new person who comes in will assume the salary that's set by state statute. Same for the public defender. It's 90% of the state's attorney. So those really aren't discretionary, and we don't get to start them at a base level and take out the COLAs that went into it getting to where it got.
If we voted against it, it still goes into effect?
We'd probably have some trouble getting our reimbursement for the positions because
I understand.
By statute, if we're going to get reimbursed, we've got to follow what it sets out. We're supposed to pay them.
I understand. Thank you. Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Sheriff's Department, Mr. Brown.
How you doing? Well, the Sheriff's Office, we have two resolutions. The first is for granting permission to dispose of surplus equipment, which is the expired bulletproof vest that the deputies once wore. We actually go into a company that actually take these vests and they actually distribute them to department or agencies that aren't able to afford those for themselves. And we actually signed a waiver that does not hold us responsible for this. So I think it's a great thing in order to give someone else. The second resolution, are you want to do them both together or what have you? Or
do them one at a
time. Yeah, one at a time.
Okay.
Please.
I move to approve this one.
Second.
Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, the second one is the approval of the intergovernmental agreement between the Sheriff's Office and the Village of Argentia. We once had a contractual program with them. We no longer actually have that contractual program, so they are deciding to do like the like Long Creek, is to do a hire back program. And that contract is actually between the deputies and the they become a employee of the village. One of the stipulations is that they were responsible for all the calls for dispatching services instead of the sheriff's office paying for them like in the past.
So they must think they can do it cheaper?
Well, yeah.
Huh.
They're actually paying the deputies by hour
right.
instead of, yeah.
But then they also have a staff of taking the calls and all that. I mean.
Well, yeah, they have to pay for those.
Right. Okay.
I move to approve it.
Second.
Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank
it?
You.
Planning and zoning.
I have a resolution in front of you guys tonight for approving the land disturbance permit fees. These are fees that haven't been changed since 2008 when they were set, and just looking to increase them.
So I'll move.
Second.
What'd you go up from? I see they're on the back of that. Was there a significant increase?
Yeah, 50 to 100.
Perfect.
Needs to.
We have a motion in a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Health Department.
Good evening, everybody. So we bring forth tonight a resolution approving increase in appropriations in the FY20 health fund budget. And this is for the COVID-19 contact tracing grant that we were very fortunate to find out that we received recently. The grand total of this grant is to be $2,861,712. And you'll see the amount that was brought forth to you reflects what would be in the FY20 budget, and then the rest of it will be in the FY21 budget. The purposes of this grant, of course, are primarily focused on contact tracing and ensuring that we have the best capacity possible locally to complete that, to try to prevent the spread of illness. There are other initiatives in there as well, which would include but not be limited to mass vaccination clinics when there's a vaccine available, and then other initiatives, like there's some advertising in there. There's quite a few staff positions that we are hiring for that have been posted, if you know anyone looking. We have a lot of capacity that we've got to grow in order to adequately fight this at the health department. So if you want any more specific information about what's included in the grant, I can certainly provide that, but we're asking you to approve this evening.
Brandy, I have a question. What's the criteria? Was it based on number of cases we've had?
No, it was based on your population.
Okay.
So it was a non-competitive amount, but you had to figure out how to spend it according to the rules, of course, and focus it on contact tracing. So our team worked very hard, and it wasn't easy, actually, when you're finally confronted with having a large amount of money that you haven't had before in that way, to kind of, you know, think outside the box and grow your capacity and infrastructure, not only during COVID-19, but moving forward. So team worked really hard and really quickly to figure out ways ways to get approved ways to spend that money and do so responsibly.
Perfect.
Hi, Brandy. This is Laura. I just saw, you know, given the large increases in cases that have been occurring in the last week or two, I was just wondering if you could talk about some of the things that we discussed the other day about what people can do to help the contact tracing and how that's becoming a bigger issue is with people, you know, interacting with more people.
Definitely. So you probably have all heard me talking a lot about preventive measures that everyone can be taking. We've been saying since the beginning everyone should assume that they have COVID-19 and are carrying it and spreading it to others, and that the others that they are around have it as well, which means you need to be implementing the preventive measures that you can. We can't control everything, but there's certainly things that we can do to try to limit the spread of illness. As you all know, right now we're in phase four, but we are in danger of going backwards. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants restrictions. Nobody wants things like businesses hurting or decreased taxes coming in or whatever else can happen. Nobody wants to lose lives. So right now is the time that people really need to step up and do everything that is within their power to try to fight this. Even though large gatherings up to 50 people are allowed right now, I am strongly encouraging people not to do that. I've even told people, don't even get together with a group of 10. And I know that's heartbreaking. I personally haven't seen some of my family. So I get it. I understand. But it's the things that we can do right now. There are several outbreaks in our community. And, you know, a lot of people have assumed that these are all linked to long-term care facilities. That's absolutely not the truth. There are many younger people now that are being diagnosed with COVID-19 right here in Macon County. And so we all need to be really responsible and really thoughtful about what we are deciding to do. And if you are going to be in a group around other people, you should be wearing a mask or cloth face covering, and you should be social distancing. These are some very, you know, small, simple things we can do to try to prevent that spread. And I'm telling you, you don't want to make a choice where you've been with several people that you love very much and find out, you know, that many of you are sick or suffering from this. So I'm certainly not in a position where I want to beat anyone up or make anybody feel bad. I'm not a negative type of person. I'm saying let's start today, let's move forward now, and do everything that we can to try to save some lives here and save our community as well.
Well said. Thank you.
Jim, did you have a question?
I've got it. That was good. Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I move to approve this.
Second.
Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Brandy, this is Deborah Kraft. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
A lot. I know how hard you're working. Thank you.
I appreciate that, and I do want to say my team is working just as hard right there with me every day since February, March, when we started responding. We have employees who've had no days off, no hours off, and this hiring is really going to help. So thank you all for your support with that, to grow our capacity and to be able to do so with adequate funding. So thank you, and any kind words I do share with them, because it certainly builds them up to keep going the next day. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I've got a little break here. I know we got Kathy Manser here from MCK. I don't know if we wanted to even cover the audit findings of right now or not, since we pulled you in here. Or do you want to defer to the following weeks? We've all had time to go through it.
Well, she said it was preliminary.
Correct.
So if she wants to just touch some points, she's here.
You mind?
Oh, well, I know.
Thank you.
Mind at all, and like Deb said, it is a preliminary, not final, and it's not an audit. So let's just kind of get that out there, just to let you know.
Perfect.
Well, we did an agreed upon procedure. We had certain procedures that we did in the treasurer's office, in the collector's side of the treasurer's office, mostly surrounding the bank reconciliation process, transfers between accounts, timeliness of deposits, posting to the FICA and FICA property tax system. We did find, if we looked at all of the deposits that started with December 1st of 2019, which is your beginning of your fiscal year, through the end of day last Friday, or the 24th of July, There were about $93.5 million of deposits posted into the bank. So deposits that went into the bank, that's what went in there, based on the what cleared the bank statements. What posted into FIKE and FIKE was about $90.5 million. But then there were other reconciling items that did get posted to the bank but didn't get posted to FIKE and FIKE. The last year's tax sale, the pilot, the payment in lieu of taxes, some refunds, some of the fees, those types of things don't get posted into the FIKE and FIKE. So the difference in the end was about $260,000, which is roughly 0.3%. So I look at it as if I had $10 and 0.3% of that, it's like 3 cents. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gives you an idea of, as far as materiality. But again, we reconciled it to that far. Just a couple of thoughts. Some of the bank reconciliations were not done, or none of them were done for May and June, which, of course, the bank statements don't come in for May until June. So, you know, with the busy time upon them, they didn't get to those. The amount, the bank recs that were done that we looked at, we picked the two largest bank accounts, and those did not agree to the trial balance. So we're reconciling them, but we're not reconciling them. So, and then there were a lot of outstanding items that really need to be followed up on more timely. And just some, you know, we included some of the information that we looked at in the packet, it's just spreadsheets that we sent to you. And again, like I said, it's not final. I'll write up a final report for you in the next couple of weeks and get that out to you. I think at this point, you know, from what I understand, so we had $90 million in deposits. We paid out $45 million in the first distribution. August 10th, there shouldn't be any problem getting them, everyone whole, made whole, every taxing body. There's enough cash in there to do that, and have some, you know, cushion, like you said, for paying out deposit or refunds and double payments and that type of thing. That we do have some recommendations as far as reviewing the bank reconciliation, following up on outstanding items more timely, getting deposits made more timely, using part-time staff to post some of the information into the system just to get it in quicker. Those were some of our suggestions. So
I have a question for clarification. This is Greg Mattingly. On the very last page,
yes.
When I'm looking at real estate tax 110 to 7.7, and then real estate tax interest and fees from 613 to 724, if I subtract the 68,500 from that 90,523 that adds up to, are those the real estate tax receipts from the first installment, or is there more in there than that?
There's more in there than that. There could be, because we're going through July 24th, there could absolutely be second installments.
Okay.
So, again, with this, the timing issue, I mean, if in 1 year half the people decide to pay only the first installment and then the next year those half decide to pay both at the same time, it's always going to be a timing issue. So in the end, we want to look at all of the tax bills that went out, whether they pay it in the first installment or second installment or late, early, they're still going to get the same amount or the taxing bodies will still get the same amount in the end.
Okay. Kathy, this is John Jackson. Is there a way to timestamp that as when they were accrued, I mean, accounted for?
Well, in the system, it shows if someone paid the second installment already, it shows when they pay it. So there is a way to show, and I don't know, I'm sure there's a report you can pull out that shows which installment are being paid. Or, and the some of the things, like the delinquent list now, if you print the delinquent list now, it includes those people that haven't paid second installment yet, even though it's not delinquent yet.
I get it.
So it, and there could be another something in the software that you can check a box that says don't include the second installment. Or, you know, so it's a matter of additional training maybe, or, you know, asking FICE and FIG to walk through some of the reports with them. So
it's a good idea, really.
Yeah, because it would actually look as if we took in more money this year than last year, based on the same time period. I mean, last year we paid out on the 24th of July at $87 million.
Well, we also, I'm not sure if this mic works or not.
Yeah.
We also sent out our tax bills late last year.
That's true.
Not late, I guess, but we always send them out in May because there was more of a delay getting the information from the state last year than there was this year, which I don't understand based on the circumstances of this year versus last year. But because we didn't get the information solidified from the state for the state equalizer last year until basically mid-May, we then had to push the tax bills out by the end of May on May 28th. So our due date was later. So gotcha. there's a little bit of a discrepancy between your due date this year versus your due date last year, what was collected for technically first installment, what was collected for after first installment, which would be delinquent first installment payments, early second installment payments, those people who decided to pay both installments this year or last year. There's just a little bit of a variation between those numbers. And like Kathy had said, because their audit was through July 27th, we do have from June 15th through July 27th would be taxes collected after technically first installment.
Okay, thank you.
But for next Monday's board meeting, will we have something that shows where we are on property tax first last year, who didn't pay, or how, whether we're, I can't believe we're ahead of last year.
We are.
Yeah, we are.
Just because of the second, some people's paid the second
maybe
installment.
Well, they had it, so they paid it. That's a lot of people told me.
We assume. But the assumption that we were 19% down because of COVID wasn't true either.
But
correct.
My question is, the people that didn't pay it, or may everybody paid them. Hell, I don't know, but
we didn't.
Is there a way for us to know that going in to do the budget?
Well, that doesn't.
I think it's going to. For that question, I think it's going to depend on what kind of reports you can get out of the system, because it would be astronomical to go through mm-hmm. individually and say, okay, right, this person. So, again, I think I'm sure if it can go in the system, it could come out of the system. So it's a matter of telling it what you want to get out of it. So it's got to be there's got to be a solution to it.
I would definitely say, though, would it be the assumption of postings didn't happen within 48 hours of receipt when you had $45 million you accounted for in 10
correct.
Days?
Correct.
Yeah.
So the thing with the collector, you can pay your taxes in a myriad of ways. You know, you can go into the office, you can go online and pay them, you can go into your bank and pay them. If you go to the bank and pay them, they get deposited right away, but then they have to be entered into the FICE and FIG system. So, you know, you get a a couple of weeks' worth of bank deposits, and you've got 1,300, 2,000 different parcels you have to post. So it takes time to get those in. If you go into the office, they get through the drawer, they get posted in the system, but they don't get deposited right away because of the time lag. So, I mean, one of the things that I would think would be a solution is to have multiple part-time seasonal staff that only post. Unless you can get, if there's a way to get the banks on, which there isn't, you can't get the banks to post into the FICA and FICA system. So you're going to have to manually post everything. So, I mean, it's a matter of getting key punch data entry people. So, but that'll catch up everything quicker, and you wouldn't have that be a month later. But by the time we did this, all of the deposits had been made and all the postings had been up to date from what we could tell.
It's good to know. Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea of the amount of cash that comes in?
No, I don't. We tested several deposits, and most of them are all checks. Because, you know, mail, you're not going to mail cash. The banks, they just send over the deposit slip that said these people paid. So the only cash that would come in would be over the counter. And when that comes in, they're in front of you, and you're paying cash, and you get your receipt, and it's posted in the system at that time. As far as how much, we don't know how much sits in the vault at one time. There's no date stamp on when something gets paid. So if something comes in the mail, there's no date stamp on it. The envelopes that they were mailed in had been torn up, so we couldn't really tell what was in what batch or, you know, the dates of what they came in. So that was one of our recommendations, is to date stamp again, either the coupon or something that you keep.
This is Drew Burge. May I interject for just a second? The envelopes that she's referring to, those are the mail-in payments. The reason that we do, she said that they were torn up. The reason that they're torn up is actually because after we've posted for first installment, we go through all of the envelopes of every payment we've gotten through the mail and verify that those envelopes are in fact empty to ensure that there hasn't been any missed payments. So that's the reason that they were torn up, as she mentioned, is because we have to have staff go through to verify that someone hasn't sent in a payment via the mail. It got, you know, erroneously put in the stack that was, you know, already paid or what have you, just to ensure that we aren't missing payments. Unfortunately, there are payments that are lost in the mail, that they mailed it on a certain date that we didn't get until much, much later. Unfortunately, I can't speak for the lag in the mail. But unfortunately, those things do happen, and sometimes, you know, due to the nature of our collection period, we are interrupted occasionally between taking a payment. So we may, you know, someone may lay an envelope down and say, oh, I'm going to get back to that, and then when they come back, they might have forgotten that they were working on it. So that's why those envelopes had been torn up, is to basically ensure that everything had been taken out of that envelope.
I noticed on the deposits that went to the bank, assumption they're hand-carried, there's no note of cash. But I'm sure on the deposit slip to the bank, you'd have to note cash, wouldn't
yes.
you?
Yes, and we did. Now, don't get me wrong. We did see some of the deposits that did have cash noted on them. We just didn't document every.
Gotcha.
Just, you know, because we kind of pick a few and look at.
Mr. Yoder, maybe do you guys know how much cash you take in?
Well,
I know Ed told me and Mike, there's days you take in over 100 grand in cash.
Well, it varies. Just the last few days of the collection leading up,
It can vary from 80, 90 to 100,000 a day, and then it tapers off right after the collection. It essentially stops. So it's a timing issue where we get a large amount of influx of cash, and the rest of the collection, we just get very little cash. We'll get some. It varies every day. We may get 2,000, may get 3,000, but nothing like 5 days leading up to due date in volume of cash.
Any other questions? Anybody on the phone? Questions? Thanks, Kathy. No need for a closed session. Next meeting will be 8:31, and we'll start Finance Committee budget hearing number one on 8:10, and budget hearing number two on 8:17. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Well,